Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends. Hey, thank you for taking time to tune in to your show with your co-host called Raising Expectations. And we're hoping tonight we've got a great program for you tonight, that your expectations will be raised, your heart will be stirred. And most of all, you remember that with God, all things are possible. And he made a way when his son died on the cross for us. We're excited about being believers. We're excited about being Americans. We're excited about all of you being our friends. So tonight, we're coming to you again. My name's Pastor Joe Schofield. You probably know that, but I get to quickly share tonight the people who bless my life every week or co-host with me on this, your program, Raising Expectations. First of all, Dr. Paul Hall won't be with us tonight. Paul is in Illinois on family business, and we're praying for him with his family. Paul is one of the greatest guys you can ever meet. So I is break this to all of you tonight, but we will be a theologless program tonight because he won't be with us. But when we told him that, he felt a lot better. So the theologing will be coming back real soon, and he will be with us. And then over on the East Coast, we have all the way coming from the great state of Georgia, our two favorite peaches in Georgia, at least she's the peach. I don't know what they call men in Georgia. I'm not real sure. A peach, both peaches. That's it. We've got Stephanie and Dr. Tank Thayer or Craig Thayer. Stephanie is a health and wellness coach expertise. She just will tell you how to take care of yourself, body, soul, and spirit. And she knows everything about how to get better and stay there once you get there. And her husband, he's a great guy. He's a great surgeon, a trauma surgeon. When people have needs and we don't know what anybody would normally do, Tank looks at them, says a prayer, and he takes care of them. Someday we always say, I want to be the one, if I ever have a problem, Tank's there for me. So they're coming all the way from just outside of Chattanooga, Tennessee, but in Georgia and not Virginia. But anyway, moving right ahead tonight. Boy, we got someone special for you tonight. We've got one of your favorite people, one of our favorite friends, but I got to tell you, he's friends to people all over the world. Our friend Richard Ray, as you know, was a special anchor there at Fox 4 News in Dallas, Texas. Made me feel right at home when I got to Dallas. In fact, I watched the news every night just to see what he was up to. He had all kinds of special programs. He'll be sharing one of those tonight with you. It'll be coming up. We'll let him share that with you. But although he's retired from Fox 4, he and his wife are actually involved in missions around the world and here at home. And he's going to share with you tonight, as you probably read, many of you responded back to me, about his trip to help the refugees from Ukraine there in Poland. And he's got a great story to share with that tonight that will encourage each of us to be a help to everyone we meet, whatever their need might be. So tonight, coming live and direct from, wait a minute. Good grief. I didn't take my vitamins today. I almost forgot. Back to Texas. Hang on, Richard. We go. My favorite pastor in Texas. Oh, my. Check this. Oh, I'm not sure. Yeah, there's a pulse. Don't worry. Ron Greer, pastor from McKinney, Texas, in my old church back there also. Ron's one of the greatest pastors.
Don't worry about me. Don't bother. I'm going to blend in here. Don't worry about it.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. There we go. And he's ready to go tonight. So, hey, love you, brother. And I owe you one. So, goodness gracious. And he has the greatest set you could ever see behind him, too. I tell you what, he's got that looking really first class. So in any event, Ron, it's a good thing next time you say, hey, Joe, wake me up. So anyway, now we've got everybody covered. Back to our special guest, Richard. You know you're part of the family when we get like this. We're just who we are. And sometimes I have to prove I'm a senior adult and forget things. And boy, do I have no trouble doing that. But in any event, Richard Ray, all the way from Dallas, Texas. And Richard, we want to give you a great welcome tonight. And hey, Stephanie's back with us. So we're going to beat the drum roll. Welcome to Raising Expectations, Richard Ray.
Thank you, Pastor Joe, Pastor Ron, Craig, and Stephanie. Always good to see you guys. You're so good to me, and always letting me come on here and talk about the things I'm passionate about. And tonight we got some fun stuff to talk about. It's a really, really cool trip that I was able to make, and so I'm looking forward to answering any questions you guys have about that. But it was late March that I was in Las Vegas at a baseball tournament, Pastor Joe, and I got a phone call. I was waiting for my bags to come off, and I got a phone call from Texas Baptist Men. I don't know how many of our viewers are familiar with Texas Baptist Men, but it's a great organization that's been around since the 60s, and it's men and women that go all over the world doing relief work. I was familiar with them because I'd covered them over the years as an anchorman reporter here in Dallas-Fort Worth. And Pastor Ron, you know, these guys are all over Texas. Ron is from a suburb very near where I live. And if there's a fire, if there's a hurricane, if there's an earthquake, any kind of disaster, these guys are there showing God's love in any way that they can. I specifically had a chance in 2005 when I was still a reporter and an anchorman at Fox 4 in Dallas, to go with a team from Texas Baptist Men to Sri Lanka, which is an island nation off the coast of India, which had been destroyed in the tsunami, the South Asian tsunami. And they had all these water wells that had been contaminated. And they sent a team of water specialists over there, and my station sent me to cover. So I went on deployment with them. Actually, I was still a reporter, but we slept on the floor and did all the things those guys did, reported for about 6 or 7 days. I was there almost 2 weeks in Sri Lanka, and then came back and did a documentary. And then I got to know the leadership in Texas Baptist Men. And over the years, I would tease them. Ron will understand this. I say, I'm not Baptist, guys, but I'm Lutheran. But when I retire, I want to go do this work with you guys, never dreaming I'd actually get a chance to do it.
Yeah, it's excellent.
And I'd seen that they'd sent a team over to Poland. They always send a scouting team first to make sure that they're needed. Because sometimes, you know, in these situations, you get a lot of volunteers, would-be volunteers who will show up, but they're just another mouth to feed. And another, if they're not really needed, they almost become a burden on them. So they always send a team to scout it out to see if they really are needed and can be of help. Once I saw that, Texas Baptist Men has a whole series of training steps you have to go through. You have to be vetted and that kind of thing. So I did a lot. I spent about 2 days doing everything I could on the internet to get through their training. But again, never dreaming I'd get that, you know, like 3 weeks later, 2 weeks later, I'd get this call out of the blue from a wonderful man that I'd met on that first trip. And he said, I understand you might be interested in going to Poland. I said, I would. And my wife, God bless her, because I'm playing baseball. It's a Friday night. I get the call. I'm supposed to come home Monday night. And then Texas Baptist Man wants to leave early Wednesday afternoon. So I, of course, got to clear that with the boss first. And she prayed about it, said, yeah, don't do it. It's something that's really worthwhile. We need to do it. And so that's how I got. In fact, I've got some pictures. I think we can show the first one we got is just of the team. And again, as I said, it's men and women. You'll see there's three women on that team. It was supposed to be 10 people, but one guy had to drop out at the end. But it was a situation. This is us at the airport before we left. And you see, I'm so new, I still don't have the Texas Baptist Men t-shirt.
There you go. Look good.
Then we get over there and we went to and we can start showing some more slides. I'll talk to them about it. And if you guys got questions, just raise your hands and I'll stop and talk some more. I think the next slide shows maybe the church where we were working. We flew into Warsaw, and then it was about a 3-hour drive south to this church in the city of Chelm. It's spelled Chelm, but it's pronounced like a hard H, Chelm. And it's big church, big Baptist church there. And they had set up, and again, let's show some more slides here. they had a shelter. These are one of our women. The women and the guys would rotate working in the shelter where they had all sorts of cots and stuff. So this is a place where they would come in from the range train stations right across the Ukrainian border. I mean, it's a stone's throw from Ukraine. They would come in, and it would be a place that they could catch their breath and get some food and get some clothing. And then generally they would go further into Europe, to Germany or Italy or somewhere. But you can see they've set up cots in this place. They had big feeding. They were feeding like nonstop, 24 hours a day feeding people. And maybe show another slide here. I'm not sure what all I put in what order. This is really touching. Aww. You're not going to see a lot of pictures of the refugees. We're asked not to. You saw the backs of heads of kids there. They asked us not to take pictures of refugees. But it was mostly women and children. Men, of course, stayed behind to fight. And you would see them come in, and they would be let's hold on that slide for just a second. I want to talk about this story. But they would come in. They would a day or so, the kids would be all, look in obvious shock. And then, but in a day or so later, they're in the playroom and they're doing drawings, and the women were able to, interact with them with Google Translate was a really big player here. You can talk into the phone and it'll spit back out in Ukrainian what you're trying to say. But wow. The next picture I want to talk about, the other thing we did.
Oh, ask.
Can I ask you a question on this picture?
Go ahead.
The hand? On the thumb, it looks like there's a ring, and then there's like a plant on the end of the index finger. Is there a meaning to that?
I'm not sure what that was. All I know is that a Ukrainian child did that drawing, and I was so touched by it. You see, they had a little trouble spelling peace there. They had to add a little there again. But, I mean, it's just these are children that would come in one day traumatized, but then the next they're running around the playroom acting like kids, So that was really, really rewarding. Then the next slide kind of shows something I want to talk about too. And I'll show a bunch of these slides too, because what I did most of the time was we worked at a warehouse that was a couple miles away, and there was stuff coming in from all over Europe. And I'll show you some stuff on that in a minute, but I want to tell this story. The first day we're there, stay on this slide and then we'll go back to the previous one. This guy from Ireland shows up, and he had driven like 3 days, had to take a boat, and it took him 3 days to get from Ireland. And all this stuff had come from Ireland with, you'll see this, for Ukraine. And that's what we were seeing over and over again, is all the supplies would come in. And I'll go back to the other slide. And then people from Ukraine would come in, this van in particular, and load up supplies. These guys helped us unload several trucks. And then they loaded up this van with everything that they could get in that van to go back into Ukraine, baby food and all the sort of stuff that they needed. And when they got ready to go, I said, God, we've got to pray over these guys. So I asked them, I said, can we pray for you? Of course, I don't understand English, but I crossed my heart and kind of, put my hands up like you pray. And they, yeah, pray for us. So I prayed a prayer for their safe return. I prayed that the war would end. And of course, they didn't understand anything I said. But as they're getting in the van to pull away, the one guy, he's just about to climb in, and he looks back and he goes, God bless you. Like he wasn't sure if he said it right. And I'm like, yes,
amen. Amen.
Yeah. And, wow. That's the kind of thing that whatever we did for those people, they returned in spades to everything we could have possibly done. But we can show some more slides. There was just a lot of really neat stuff going on at the warehouse there, because all these guys are coming in with trucks and they got to be unloaded and everything's got to be sorted. And then other groups are coming in to pick it up and take it back to Ukraine. And there were volunteers there from Italy and Australia and Germany and France and England. One day we're there, it's a Sunday, and we've told it's going to be a slow day. So we unloaded a couple trucks in the morning. We come back after lunch, and there are 8 large trucks from an equestrian club in England. They drove all the way from England. Oh, that was a hard day. My back was so sore. But these people were so motivated to come and help the people from Ukraine. It was like all of Europe had united to do this. And again, so heartwarming. Show a couple more slides.
Richard, I have a question. One back, it was an Irish guy. It was like a removal company. Was he using his van to bring supplies in?
Yes. In fact, what they apparently his company had decided that they were going to gather all this material and send it specifically for the Ukrainian refugees. And again, it was the stuff they needed, food and water and nappies for the babies and medicine. And a lot of money was coming. Here's another story. I want to tell this story. This picture is really a touching story when you tell the whole story. Again, we're sitting there one day, one afternoon, and three vans show up. There are four young people and this babushka-looking mama here in the middle. They were from Ukraine. They weren't expected. Usually we'd get a heads up. People are going to come in and they're going to need this or that. Well, they came in sort of unannounced, but that, of course, they're going to get sent stuff. So they had like three vans and we proceeded to load them all up. And now this one, there's my friend Greg and another Joe's on in the gray hat. And Greg is they're the only two guys that were my age or older and worked my butt off. They totally outworked me. But Joe Fuller said, we need to pray for these people. Show the next slide. And so they started praying. I thought by this time, I'm going to take pictures of this because I didn't do the previous one. You see this young girl in the middle, she's tears in her eyes as Joe prays for them before they send them back into Ukraine. So again, I'm getting a little choked up here now just talking about that. But that kind of stuff happened it was really hard work. I got violently sick one night. There was a stomach bug going around the shelter that several people caught. It wasn't easy, but it was so fulfilling. And again, I say over and over again, I just thank Texas Baptist Men for the privilege of being able to do this. I know Ron and Craig and Stephanie and Joe, I mean, if you'd have been given the chance, you'd probably gone too. I mean, it's something that I would wish to do.
Wow.
There's still a couple more slides and maybe we'll spark a question or two.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, again, unloading stuff. That's one of the that a lot of this was going on day and night. And again, this the kid squatting down the front there, he's from Italy, as I remember. And then there's a gal there, I think she was from Britain in the front, and then a couple of Texas Baptist men. We weren't running the warehouse. We were just labor. But they had the church, it really had it organized. They were buying food stuff and making pallets so that it took a lot of time. A lot of stuff would come in unsorted. So you had to kind of put the medicine together with the medicine and the nappies with the nappies and the food with the food. So a lot of that. Keep going to the slides here. Maybe something else will spark me before somebody comes up with a question. Okay. This is the whole group plus a TV reporter. We got, you see the guy in the middle there without the younger guy there. I think he's third from the right top row. He was actually a TV reporter from NBC affiliate in Houston that came over and did stories with us for a few days. We got a lot of coverage here in Dallas the day before we left, the day we left, and I did some radio interviews and stuff while I was over there. So it was a good opportunity to get the news out about Texas Baptist Men. And since I've gotten home, it's been a great opportunity. And all the people in my church were praying for me. In fact, this morning, my wife and I are taking our dog on a walk, and a neighbor lady who lives about four or five blocks away came out on her porch and said, I was praying for you every day you were gone. Mm-hmm. So it's really been that kind of a rewarding situation, too.
That's great.
Yeah.
Let's finish out the slides here. Okay, this is the story to teach. Okay, we were Poland Team 1. This is a selfie as Poland Team 2 arrived. Most of the folks behind me are part of Poland Team 2. They were there for a couple of days overlapping, and then they've been sending teams over there about every 2 weeks since. I think they're still doing that, but I could be wrong about that. Is there one more slide, maybe? Maybe not.
There we go.
Now, we did go back to Warsaw. Before we flew out, we had some time in Warsaw, and it was a Sunday, very cold, but a pretty sunny day. And of course, people that were all out there holding Ukrainian flags, and we had a little time to see old downtown Warsaw, and it kind of topped off the trip. But awesome experience, just an awesome experience. And I got an email last week too. The Texas Baptist Men, while we were over there, we had wildfires and tornadoes in Texas. And after we got sent over there, Texas Baptist Men dispatched three more teams to cover those here in Texas. And again, it's ongoing. I got an email last week, maybe not even last week, maybe 4 days ago, 3 or 4 days ago, that they're getting ready to send some people to New Mexico, where wildfires are raging in it, and that's what Texas Baptist men do.
Wow. What church was that? Do you remember? Was that a historical church there?
It was the big Baptist church in Helm, and again, that's spelled Chelm. If you look it up, it's right on the Ukrainian border. I don't know how historic it was. It looked like it was probably built in the 60s or something. It was a pretty big, sprawling complex. What they had to tell us, the two jobs we had were whoever went to the shelter had to clean toilets and mop floors and fun stuff like that. And then if you went to the warehouse, you had to work until your back ached. Oh. So it was hard work, but it was just really fulfilling.
I'm thinking you wanted the warehouse and not the toilets.
Depends what you want. Yeah. Depends.
Hank?
I was going to say, it's kind of, you know, always be careful what you wish for, right? So I'm sure it was probably almost a 24-hour day of loading, unloading, loading, unloading. It's got to be hard work.
Wow.
That warehouse, what it reminded me of, we went to Haiti maybe 8 or 9 months after the earthquake, and all these supplies had come in, but none of it was organized. And so I would literally go into like tent warehouses and crawl over and just pray, okay, God, we need IV bags. Okay, we need adult diapers. Like, and I would just start, because I saw when you pulled up the picture, I said, look, there's diapers. You know, right away I was starting to pinpoint, because you start to learn what people need, and we got to get some of this and we got to get some of that. And it is exhausting, but weren't you filled up at the end of the day?
Oh boy.
Well, it makes you feel good. And I will say too, that generally when Texas Baptist men deploy, they do sleep on the floors of churches, and often it's really, really rough going. We had a hotel room. It was not a luxurious hotel room. It looked like something out of the Soviet era. The beds were pretty. My roommate had a bed that was slats, board slats, and one of the slats broke. And so he was trying to sleep. And but, you know, that's just the minor inconveniences. But on a trip like that, and I know you guys have all done mission trips. I just got off the phone maybe 2 hours ago with Rachel Anderson. Rachel's last name. I just talked to her. But she's a child minister at one of the big churches in Plano. And she's in child ministry. And they sent her over there because they thought there would be a lot of children to deal with. And there were, but she ended up mostly cleaning toilets. But that's all right. But Rachel called me today. They've got something in the city of Plano. I'll give them a little. They've got something coming up in Plano where they're just trying to do a whole mission month in the city of Plano. And she was asking me how they might get coverage, if the local newspapers or who. So I just kind of given her advice on how they might get coverage. But you become, you know, those people forever are your mission friends, your mission brothers and sisters. And so we've all kind of kept in contact. I had a great roommate named Ken. And all the other guys that were just super, super people to work with. And I hope I can deploy with those guys again, guys and gals again.
Hey, Tank had a good question, too.
What did they feed you?
I'm sorry?
What did they feed you?
Oh, feed. Well, we had the hotel had a breakfast, and it was pretty good breakfast. You know, it's food not necessarily that we're used to, but it was good breakfast. And then we would always eat lunch at the shelter. And again, the shelter was running 24 hours a day. They had people cooking all the time, and the best borscht I've ever had. I mean, the food was terrific in the kitchen. The women were wonderful cooks, and they made sure everybody stayed fed. And again, people coming and going constantly. And then we would usually eat out at night. So it wasn't like we were MREs or anything. It was.
what was the kind of, I wanted to say, like, spirit or flavor of the folks coming through? I mean, obviously this is a high stress flight or flight.
That's a really good question. Let me describe that. What you would see, it was they would come in, and usually it would be, again, women and children. And the children would just kind of be in shock, and the women would, you know, had obviously been stressed out and tired and really beaten down. But then it was rewarding to see that generally, especially with the kids, as I said earlier, they had a big playroom. with all sorts of toys and stuff. And we would go in there and we'd sweep up and everything. And then the kids would be running and playing and giggling and laughing. And the women would get out their Google Translate on the phone, and they would, you know, say like, do you have brothers and sisters? And then the phone plays back in Ukrainian, do you have brothers and sisters? The kids were laughing and having all sorts of fun. And the women on our group were just wonderful in the way they dealt with the kids. But it was pretty, pretty stark. When they first came in, they were obviously traumatized. And most of the time you'd see the same people a day or two later, and they'd recovered somewhat. I should tell another story too. It was really, apparently just before we got there, they had an absolute flood. It slowed down a little bit as we got there, but we'd only been there about a day. And we get word that the train station coming in is an entire orphanage of kids from Ukraine. So we got there the next morning, and I had I had a good video camera, and I think maybe that's one of the reasons that Texas Baptist men thought that they'd send me is because I could help with that kind of thing. So when we got there the next morning, there were two large buses from Italy, from a town near near Milan, and they'd been contacted by the government of Italy about these kids. And In that short period of time, they had sent the two large vans, an ambulance with paramedics, and a couple other support vehicles to pick up all 104 of these children and the people that were with them. So we filmed the kids again, not showing faces, but I should have included that video in what we did. But then Rachel kind of narrated and I edited it together and something. If you look on my Facebook page, Richard Ray Fox 4, you can find that from back when we did that sometime in the last week or two of March. But they loaded those kids up. It was really quite a lengthy process because they had all the paperwork they had to fill out. And then they just about get me ready. And then four or five kids would have to go to the bathroom. So they'd run out and they'd go back to the church and go to the bathroom. And can't find so-and-so. So it took a couple, 3 hours, but they finally got all those kids. And we were told, I talked to the people that had come from Italy, and we were told that every kid had a place to stay. Every kid they'd made arrangements for them to continue their education. I mean, again, the hearts of Europe just went out to the Ukrainian people. I hope and I pray that continues because they need all the support they can get.
So I just pulled up the distance between Chelm and Milan. It's over 1,000 miles. I mean, that is a 17-hour drive with no notice. I love that. I love how people rally when stuff happens.
Amen.
We saw that over and over again. Some of the guys working at the shelter, some of the guys came from there. One couple came from a school in Switzerland, and he was Australian and she was Austrian. Real lovely young couple, handsome and beautiful young couple. And she was working in the shelter, and he was working at the warehouse with us. And they had a little bit of break from school. They left a couple days before we did, vowing that they were going to go back, now knowing what specifically was needed most, and that they'd be back with more supplies when they returned. And we saw that repeated over and over again. A kid from Northern Ireland who professed to be an atheist, but, you know, hanging around with the guys like us.
Give him a little time.
Right. Yeah, well, my friend Joe Fuller, the guy in the dark hat and the T-shirt that was leading the prayer with that older woman that I showed you later, he's kept in contact with that young man. His name was, think about a minute. But anyway, just again, you develop relationships. One of my favorite sayings has always been, preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. They saw us preaching the gospel even if we weren't talking the words. So,
right. Amen.
Amen.
Bon, you got a question?
Another question, Rich. How about the citizens that you have contact with in the city outside the shelter? What's the mood there among the other folk in Kiln?
Well, honestly, most of the people we talked to were were connected with a church. They were church people that there's a, I think they call it the Baptist Union over there. Right. So I didn't have a lot of talk. I didn't really speak with a lot of people. I don't speak Polish especially in a smaller city, sort of outskirts like that. There's not a lot of younger people speak English, but most of the other people don't. So okay. I honestly didn't have a lot of contact with that, but I think the mood was very obvious. The nation of Poland as a people had very decidedly taken a stand on this. They're standing with Ukraine and not Russia. In fact, while we were there, Putin, one of Putin's top supporters, back the guy who held his presidency for one term before Putin took it back, had gone on one of the social media thinking, basically threatening Poland, you're going to be sorry for taking Ukraine's side in this kind of thing. And Poland's like, we're going to send more. I think that was the attitude of Europe in general. And we've seen that now with Finland and Sweden talking about joining NATO.
Right.
And, Putin obviously has been trying to weaken NATO for a long time. And unfortunately, he's had some help here. He'd been trying to weaken NATO, and I think that he thought this might crack NATO. Instead, it has solidified NATO in a way that hopefully it will benefit the world going forward. We hope so. We think so.
Agreed.
Ron, you got a follow up? Looks like you're thinking. Oh, you're okay.
I was trying not to dominate.
Oh, no, you're not.
Go, Ron.
Yeah, go ahead, Ron. This is Paul's shot. Go ahead.
Well, that was the other question was, again, I was going to go back to the people coming from Ukraine transporting food back. Any conversations with them about the circumstances there, about the mood of the people there, their idea or their perspective on how the war is going? Anything like that at all?
So determined. And there, some of them spoke. In fact, that's the way the communication would go. It's a good question. That's the communication would go. Somebody would find somebody who could speak a broken English in whatever language, you know. So you had like four or five different things going on. But we were able to communicate with a young bus driver from a city maybe halfway to Kiev, Kyiv, and talking to him about, and he had a big semi. And we loaded that thing. Man, he took a lot of stuff back and forth. But he talked about, you know, the determination of, you know, we're going to win this thing. And they've shown that determination. You read the news today. They've actually retaken some territory. If the West continues to supply them with the arms they need, and again, I'm not a military expert. I'm just reading the paper and like the rest of you guys and watching what's going on TV. But you could... There's an old saying about, you know, that doubles the power of an army when they're fighting on their home soil. It just makes sense.
Yeah.
You're fighting for your survival. You're fighting for your home. You're going up against some kid from Russia that doesn't even know why he's there. Yeah. It was probably misled about why he was sent there. Yeah. Obviously, those people are going to be a lot more motivated. And I saw something today that indicated that Putin has lost a full third of the men and women he sent to fight over there. He's lost 100 times more men than we ever lost in Afghanistan or Iraq. I mean, you got to go back. I think he's already lost more men than we lost in Vietnam. So the toll, and that's part of my prayer every day too. And I'm a suspect it is of yours. And God, end that awful war. Be with President Zelensky and the good people of Ukraine and Russia, because they don't deserve this either.
Yeah. So, you know, I have teenage boys. And so I've talked about this on other shows that we've done. My reaction to the war has been a little bit different than the men in my house, because they're like, did you see what happened? And so, you know, Craig's getting it from the news and the boys are on TikTok. And one of the things that they came out and showed me, which is genius, really, is, you know, all the satellites and different things were down, that Russia had taken them down in Ukraine. Well, the Ukrainians took all the signs off. There were no signs anywhere. So if you weren't local, you didn't know where you were going. And my boys, I mean, you want to have teenagers just like, yeah, you know, and they're taking over the text. They thought that was the best thing. And it sounds so simple, but there is a home field advantage. You grew up there, you know, every road, you know, you have 6 miles of them backed up and they can't go anywhere. Too bad, you know.
Sounds like the Battle of the Bulge in World War II, right? They changed all the signs and they didn't know where they were. And Miss Stone, wow.
So simple.
Yeah, good thinking.
I will vouch for this, that I don't ever want to talk politics, but I will say one political thing. I hope America's resolve to continue to help Ukraine remains fully engaged. But I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I know.
I agree.
Well, I mean, I don't know how we... Well, I do know. That's politics. I mean, to back away at any point, it's going to cost us more in the long run than continuing to supply stuff. So we need to do that. But I'll ask you something. So what was the most moving moment on the trip?
Most moving moment? It might have been when that guy turned around and said, God bless you.
Yes.
Because he didn't know if he'd said it right. And he said almost, he said it perfectly.
He spoke in tongues. I have to say, I did that once. So I, going to Honduras, have learned Dios te bendiga, which means God bless you in Spanish. And so we were handing out food and water to these people in Tennessee and Chattanooga. And I thought this lady was Hispanic. So I said, Dios bendiga. But my partner who was helping me goes, dude, she's Asian. And then I spoke tongues to her.
I give grace and forgiveness, right? When we're trying to do the right thing.
I've said worse on mission trips, that's for sure.
Blessed
the pastor's wife's tummy and asked her how many months pregnant she was in Spanish. And she's,
They were asked that question.
Guess what?
My mom told me never ask that question. I'm like, where were you, mom?
Well, you were concerned. They look at your face and they know your heart, Tank. They always do.
That's right.
That's what matters.
I can step on my own feet just fine.
Richard, you got another question I want to ask.
I was going to kind of piggyback on the circumstances with Putin, being that. I think he's lost eight generals so far. Eight generals, three warships, and a heavily damaged a fourth one. You started hearing those sorts of things, and you begin to realize that there's a lot more going on, a lot more help going on than what the news media is even telling us. There are a couple of those incidents where ships were hit. And there's no way you can do that without certain sophisticated munitions. And
well, there's only news media did tell us,
huh?
The news media did tell us that the Pentagon helped in that, and then the Pentagon said, "No, we didn't do that."
There are only four countries that could do what they did.
Same thing with the pontoon bridge. Yeah, pontoon bridge that surprised the heck out of them. They're not going to go back across that river.
It's not just the governments, but there's all these anonymous groups of like hackers that can be nefarious, bad people too. They've really targeted Putin, and I, you guys see again probably as much as I see on this, but he's got physical problems. He's all of a sudden a lot of his former top
reasoning
people are disappearing, and there's been some mysterious deaths. I mean, I think he's probably scrambling to make sure there's not a coup, because at this point he's killing their economy. He's literally killing a third of their army. There's got to be forces there trying to make this go away. But
I think that's one of the issues that's one of the issues that's a matter of prayer for us. Is you know, it's one of those things. You get a desperate man. It's the cornered dog syndrome, cornered wounded dog. That you end up doing something drastic and crazy, just despite all the folk who are against him. And I'm praying that there are enough people under him who are ready to revolt. You know, we've heard stories. We keep hearing stories leaking out about even some of the soldiers within the field there, and some of the officers who are today. I think one finally broke on the public that there's an officer who shot himself. Just to get sent back off the front line. But you know, I think what people don't get is that, well, listen, for my friends tell me that most of the Russian soldiers that are there, they're conscripts. They aren't people who volunteered. they were basically, in essence, drafted and then sent there.
What am I doing?
And most of them don't have a lot of training. I've got another guy we were talking with who's a, well, I won't say anyways, he's there. But even most of the equipment, the trucks and the transport equipment, he talks about how horrible the maintenance condition is and how horrible the equipment is. It's somehow Russia has been have this facade that they're this mighty, well-mechanized military. And somehow and here in Ukraine, I think the cover's being pulled back, that they're not as advanced and as powerful as the people thought they were. But again, I think, and what's the, one of the, I think the Ukrainian people's resistance is what exposed that. Because everybody assumed, and I assumed, that if you got 200,000 troops on the borders, they're going to eventually say, okay, let's negotiate. Nobody expected them to go, no, we're not going to. Especially you have a comedic actor who is a president.
Yeah. So, no.
To the challenge, right? Like, man of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, one thing for sure, the geo.
What Ron was saying there early on, a guy whose opinion I respect was saying the Russian army is a paper tiger, but we have to remember they have the largest nuclear.
Yes.
Weaponry in the world. So that's the line that we're in. As Ron said, this guy's unstable. What if he's going out? I don't know. But that's what we pray about every day, right, guys?
Yeah. That's right. God's got it. Yeah. One thing for sure. Go ahead, Tank.
I was going to say my comment on that is he did say in one of his speeches something that was good, which is when asked about nuclear arms that he would not use them unless their country was in imminent danger. Long as we push Russians out of Ukraine and don't invade their territory, or at least enough territory that now they're worried about imminent danger, he won't pull a trigger. That's what he said.
We're going to have to keep praying. That's a good point, Tank. I'm going to shift us. That one thing for sure, the geopolitical picture of the world has certainly changed. Who would have thought the strengthening and the bringing together of NATO, what has happened in NATO is unbelievable with them coming together. And, of course, China's sitting back saying, let's take another look at this, boys. Maybe this is not such a great deal after all in Taiwan. And there's just so many ramifications. But that's politics. We just do what Richard said. We'll keep giving this to the Lord and realize we trust day by day, and he raises our expectations each day because God's in control. But it's something else, isn't it, Ron, when we look at it? Something to see. Richard's got something really great. And, Richard, we have got about 9 minutes. We got a two-minute thing. So, yeah, and we're going to come back with this. So let's go ahead.
Disrespectful clock every week.
Yeah, we hate our clock. Excuse me, don't hate anything, but we don't like our clock.
Is it acting update? Tell me it's acting update. Is it?
No, it's a documentary update. In fact, if we can play the documentary I've been working on, it's going to get a national audience on Friday night. ABC's 2020 is going to run the story, and I've got a 2-minute promo that I think we can air right now.
TJ, can you put that on for us, friend?
Yay! It was just like a normal morning. I was getting ready for school, and then I heard my grandmother scream.
The Hunt County Sheriff's Department is investigating the murders of a husband and wife found dead inside their home.
This is the house where the Woodruffs were murdered.
Police find an absolutely gruesome murder scene.
Brandon is the last person to see his parents. This is important.
Brandon, did anything happen with you and your parents?
No, that's crazy. Tell me what you
want to hear. Brandon was wonderful with animals. He's almost like a horse whisperer.
He had different ways of doing things with his horses that was just almost magical.
He just had a gift.
They were saying he was a murderer, and there was just no possible way.
There were wild revelations.
You'd spend crazy amounts of money.
Staying out too late, sleeping in, missing classes.
His appearance was pristine.
Brandon's secret life.
I would never, ever imagine that he would harm his parents.
Did this teenager murder his parents to cover up his secret double life?
They had rumor, innuendo, and suspicion.
You have yet to hear the whole story.
There is a false timeline presented by Brandon.
Brandon was up there. He could have gotten this gun.
Who's wrong? Somebody's wrong.
Now, for the first time on television, the powerful prison interview.
Brandon, I have interviewed a lot of people in prison and in jail, and so often they say, I didn't do it, I didn't do it. Why should we believe you?
The stunning all-new 2020 True Crime Event Special.
Gave me goosebumps.
I know the truth, and the truth's gonna come out.
Premieres Friday at 9, 8 central on ABC and stream on Hulu.
Hi, everyone. George Stephanopoulos.
I encourage everybody to watch that. I got involved with this about a year ago. The deeper I get into this case, the more angry it makes. This kid, at the very least, did not get a full trial. And I think the evidence shows he could not possibly have murdered his parents. He did lie about being gay. That came back to haunt him at trial. The prosecutors, he can lie about being gay. He can lie about killing his parents. There's not a shred of evidence that puts him at the murder scene. And a ton of evidence that he couldn't do it. But our documentary is going to do, on a longer version, what 2020 is going to do. And that's to lay it all out there. Those who believe he did, those who believe he didn't, and let people decide themselves. But it's a really powerful case. The kid has spent almost half of his life in prison or jail now for a murder that since I got involved, we contacted the Innocence Project of Texas, asked them to take a look at the case. They're now working actively to try to free Brandon Dale Woodruff. And that's a story that's going to it's getting ABC 2020 coverage on Friday. There's another not as big a network coming into town in about 2 weeks that my partners and I are working with. I want to say one more thing about that. Early on, we had a production team that said, don't work with these other crews that come in, because if it's on ABC's 2020, we won't be able to sell it to Netflix or Prime or whatever. We made the decision then. We continue to make the decision. Whatever's best for Brandon comes first. Right. Whatever's best for the film comes second. So,
amen.
Praise God. Good.
Amen. That's it.
Come on next time and we could talk about that. You guys will have if you watch that, you'll have all sorts of questions for us.
We need 2 hours. We need 2 hours. 2 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Hey, we're working on that. Boy, I'm glad you said that, folks. I almost forgot something there. We're working on that. Ladies and gentlemen, don't forget, we are a driven and financially paid for program by all of you. And those that donate to us, thanks so much. You are a blessing. You're in our prayers, and we thank God for you. But if you can help us, I just got hit with some more things we're covering cost-wise, and we sure could use the help. I'll give you the address again, real simple. It's high tech. Here we go. You ready? BBSradio.com/raising expectations. One more time, BBSradio.com/raising expectations. And if you'll go on there's a donation button. If God speaks to your heart, you'll sure bless us, and we appreciate that. And so as we look at this, in just a minute, I'm going to ask Ron to pray as we go out here tonight, brother, if you would, for Ukraine and for Richard, for his ministry. But also, Richard, if you've got anything else you want to say about the program, maybe what's coming up on this program, tell us. We got about 3.5 minutes here.
I just want to repeat that I have a long prayer I do every day. It takes about 35, 40 minutes. But you guys are in the rotation, have been for quite some time, by name, each and every one of you, Dr. Paul as well. And you guys have been very, very kind to me to let me promote the things that I'm working on and the missions and the ministries that I'm involved in. And I do give thanks to God every day for that. Thank you, guys.
And we appreciate you. We thank God for your life, don't we, folks? Amen. Yeah. For what you do. And I tell you what, you turned me into a Texan. Once I started watching that news with you, I felt like I was right at home. That worked out good. Hey, Ron, would you lead us and just pray for Richard and then pray for the Ukrainian people, brother? That'd be great.
Sure, sure. It might be my pleasure.
Thank you.
God, we thank you for your great love for us, Lord, for your grace shed upon us through this relationship we have with you by your choice through our faith. And that, Lord, also the assurance you give us that you are our Father and we're your children and you hear us. And you work constantly, Lord, on our behalf. And we thank you, Lord. And in that truth, we pray for lift my brother up to you, Richard, that, Lord, you continue to work and move in his life, that, Lord, you will continue to open opportunities for him in the second half of his life, that you continue to use him mightily in the lives of other people. And as you do, we pray that you would continue to, Lord, drill down deeper into him, to show him more and more about who you are and who he is, that you might be able to use him even more effectively. Thank you for the opportunity you've given him. Thank you for the platform you've given him, Lord. And now give him wisdom and your good sense of your presence. And also, Lord, great understanding of what it is he do and how to do it well and how, Lord, most of all, to represent you. God, we pray that you would, Lord, put your presence and your hand over the lives of the people of Ukraine.
Yes.
It's often, Lord, we feel like the actual people themselves are being used and being attacked. And, Lord, you are their only hope. At this point, we thank you for how you've rallied other countries to their rescue, to help them. We pray that that would continue, Lord, and more even intensify. In the end, that, Lord, the wicked might be banished and discouraged. Pray also, Lord, for the people in Russia who are in the dark and who have been lied to as well, that they too would, Lord, would understand and see what's going on and rise up and, Lord, resist that. In the end, we pray that you would do, Lord, beyond what any of us can even imagine and ever think of, because you are God. Amen. Pray, Lord, that you would keep us mindful of our relationship with you in everything we do and say, that we will love you wholeheartedly with all our mind, with all souls, in a way that people might know that you are God and there is none other but you. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, and make us worthy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Richard, thanks for your life, for your ministry, and we sure are grateful you're our friend. We appreciate and love you, and just we'll continue to pray. Ron, thanks for the beautiful prayer, brother, and we'll just be going from there. And Tank, God bless you. God bless you, Steph, and all the things you're doing. Remember to pray for Paul, and yes. we will see what happens there as we go out. I'm looking at the old meter go down. You ever watch us, Richard? Richard knows all this stuff high tech compared to me, but you know, it goes beep, beep, beep. And anyway, we'll be looking forward to talking to you again real soon. We got to get you scheduled. I'll get back to you so you can get back with us.
This is perfect. Thank you.
No, amen. Thank you, all right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. God bless and keep you. And a day at a time, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Every day at a time, he's got something special for you. So we'll be signing off for now. Same time, same station. Check back. We'll see you later. God bless you.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous. But most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556 or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.